this is, oh shit. Jane, gold all in my chain, gold all in my ring, gold all in my watch. Don't believe me, Jane.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 101 of Speak On It. I am your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, Losty Mix, and officially a homeowner, Losty Mix.
Talk to me. Hey, man, I woke up this morning. I'm just feeling different now, you know, when you're officially a homeowner. It's a beautiful thing. They say wealth is built off real estate in this country, and hey, I'm trying to get me a few dollars, but nah, I'm all in all, man. It feels good. I'm a year older. Got me a nice little house now as a present. So I'm doing good, man. How are you doing? Because you already know when you see this Nas fade, it could only be one brother. But how are you doing, my brother?
Oh, man. It's things are going all right. It's been a rough week, but we here. Life is good. No complaints. Yeah, man. We out here living. Everything's going well.
I mean, how was the week off? Did it feel weird not having a pod after 100 episodes like that?
Yeah, man. Last week was a little weird. Some things going on with both of us. We couldn't pod last week. You know, after 100, I felt so energized and rejuvenated, and I still do. But like last week, I was like, yo, we're going to hit this joint running. And then some things popped up, and we couldn't. So tonight, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot to catch up on, a lot of basketball.
A lot of basketball. The Lakers play at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time for my fellow West Coasters. That means it's coming on at 8:30 Eastern time. But let me start by saying this. If you've been following me on IG, you've probably heard me say the words Lakers and Six a lot. I was a little intoxicated. I was a little dragged. I was a little loose. But I meant what I said when I said it. You know, that tequila didn't speak for me. I spoke for the tequila. Lakers and Six versus the Warriors, and I feel like Lakers and Six versus the Nuggets, you know what I'm saying? Lake Show, and we here, and we standing on it. Business time. Well, Danny, where is the pod brought to the good people by?
The pod is brought to you by the folks at goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com. I know a lot of dynasty drafts have wrapped up, or you're on the verge of having your dynasty draft, your rookie draft, or your initial draft. Head over there for all your fantasy needs. I know we had our dynasty rookie draft about 2 weeks ago. We'll jump into that a little bit later. And what happened. But tonight, as you mentioned, we're going to preview the conference finals. We're going to talk about the semifinals that just passed. We're going to talk about Ja Morant and his love for Pistons. We're going to talk about the dynasty draft. We're going to talk about all these coaches getting fired. What up, Kyle? What up, Jamie? Yeah, man, you just want to dive right in? Like we got a lot to jump into.
I'm ready, man. Let's get into it.
All right, so let's start off in the East. Let's start with the Sixers and Celtics series. And for those who don't know, Game 7 was Sunday. And if you didn't watch, here's a little recap. The Sixers pissed their legs. They wet the bed. They shit themselves. Whatever bodily fluid you imagine coming out some sort of orifice, that's what the Sixers did in front of God in America. Jason Tatum scorched those boys to the tune of 51 points, which, if you're keeping count at home, beats the Game 7 record of 50 points that Steph Curry set just a couple of weeks ago against the Kings. On the Sixers side, Harden had a whopping 9 points, and the newly crowned MVP, Joel Embiid, only dropped 15 in an elimination game. D, out of those two, which one's the biggest story? Tatum saving his legacy at the end of Game 6 and jumping into Game 7, or the Sixers' choke job?
Listen, Jason Tatum said after Game 6, he's humbly one of the best players in the world. That 51-point performance, if you've been watching Tatum all year, similarly, like, you know, a lot of us have been, this doesn't surprise you. This is Game 7. He knew what time it was. You knew what time it was. It's Game 7 at home, chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Again, this is a duo that's been doing it really since they've came into the league. There should be no surprise about Jason Tatum and what he can do on this stage. You know what I'm saying? There should be no surprise about what Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Al Horford, when he's matched up against Joel Embiid, they're used to it. The bigger story is that a team that was up 3-2, an improbable 3-2, when they really should have been down 3-1, they were up 3-2.
Yep.
They lost two straight games, one at home. with a lead. Choked that one away. This game seven, it was close. They went into half only down three, and then they allowed, what, a 25-8 run?
Oh, dog. That was so hard to watch.
It was embarrassing. You ask yourself, what needs to change? You know, I'm watching this game, and I'm watching this run, and I'm saying, yeah, Doc Rivers has officially coached his last game in Philadelphia. I think I texted you that.
You did.
I said, yeah, no, he won't live this down. James Harden, it's amazing to me how a player who scored 40 twice versus the same team in the same series down the stretch of the last couple games didn't get the shots and the touches that he so deserved. And I don't really know what to say about Joel Embiid's game seven. It was embarrassing. It was, I want to say the better team won. The better team did win. So I want to give the Celtics their credit because I think I've been on the bandwagon of saying I think they're the most complete team left in the playoffs, but
I'm with you. I'm not shocked Boston won. I'm more so shocked in the way Philadelphia gave this away. Like game six was it. Like you had him on the ropes. Jason Tatum was having the worst game of his career. Like you should have like that was your chance to knockout punch. And we're having a totally different conversation, right? We're having the conversation of should we break up Tatum and Brown because Brown is about to get big money thanks to making all NBA, right? They might make the Celtics decision a little bit easier. And now we're talking about Joel Embiid and James Harden choking this away and James Harden going back to Houston.
Let me ask you something. Do you think after game six, the Sixers looked emotionally deflated and killed?
They like, did. So did you watch that game on ESPN?
Yeah.
Because Doris Burke, there was a play that happened and they didn't show any hustle and there was still time on the clock. And Doris was like, wow, they look defeated. They have no energy. It's like she's like, it's like they've accepted the loss already and there was still time to do some damage. And I think in that moment, like that's when the series is over.
Really? Prior to, listen, the first four games, the Celtics gave away a couple of them.
Yeah, man.
They should have been up 3-1 after five games or four games. They were up 3-2 after five games with a chance to send it on all the way home.
The most disappointing thing for me is that my Joel Embiid agenda is dead. I've been on this pod all season, the past couple of seasons, saying that Joel is better than Joker. And boy, let me tell you something. Joker's in the conference finals for the second time in his career, and Joel has never advanced past the second round. So for the moment.
And also, on top of that, Jokic has looked like the better player in these playoffs.
Yeah, he's dominated. He has absolutely dominated this playoffs. We'll talk about what I think the Lakers and Nuggets do, but I'm just disappointed. Joel, I know you listen to the pod, man. Now it's time. Demand a trade to Dallas. Go play with Luka, dog. Go win your ring.
What? Joel. Okay, really, you should be thinking about how James Harden is potentially really seriously interested in going back to Houston. Has anyone in Houston confirmed that they want James Harden back?
I just imagine Ime Udoka and James Harden in the same facility. Strippers about to be paid in Houston, dog.
Oh, you think they're going up?
What?
They putting up 2018 Braun numbers,
dog.
If them two go in a tandem, they go on a run. It's up.
It's up. Hey, man. If you're a stripper in Houston, you thought about going back to school. Yep, your tuition about to get paid for.
But what about the ones in Philly, though?
I mean, here's the thing, and I love Philadelphia, but I have a feeling that the strippers in Houston might be on a different level than the strippers in Philadelphia.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
I can't either. This is a hypothesis that I have.
Oh, a hypothesis.
I've never heard of a rapper saying the stripper.
Y'all hear the vocabulary my man started busting out? We got him. We got him. Yo, I mean, what up, Gerson? What up, Kyle? What up, Akili?
But for real, has anyone ever heard a rapper talk about the strippers in Philadelphia? Like, I've never heard a rapper reference strippers in Philadelphia, but they talk about Atlanta.
I'm not in the stripper Reddit threads. Maybe I didn't know that was your thing. Maybe we got to talk about some things after the show, man. I just got to, you know, we got to see
You know what? Funny story, talking about strippers, and this might be the clip for social. So I used to, when I was younger, before I met my wife, like I went to college near a beach and we used to go to strip club. And I've told you this story before, strip club all the time. And one day my uncle said to me, "You're throwing money at a woman to get you wound up and then she leave you alone. What's the point?" I ain't been to a strip club since.
You know, this the same. Is this the same uncle that you mentioned about porn? Your thing with the line with the porn. This brother seems to have a lot of.
No, I don't. What's the porn line? That one's escaping me.
Watch another man get some.
No, this was not him. This I don't know. I forgot who said that, but it might have been the same guy because that's adjacent.
Where do you get your advice from? Like, how do these conversations be happening?
I mean, he was like, "So how's school going?" I was like, "Yo, it's cool. We'd be going to the strip club." And he was like, "The strip club? You be paying women, you be throwing money at women to get you started and then leave you alone. That don't make no sense." And I was like, "Damn, you right."
That kind of sounds like hate though.
It is hate. But it's hate that has seeped into my blood and I can't get it out.
What do you mean? But you're supporting a young woman's dream and her quest to be better.
I'm not hating on her for doing that. She's just not getting none of my money.
What were your thoughts when you saw that Doc Rivers got fired this morning?
Inevitable. I'm surprised he lasted to Tuesday. I thought he was going to get fired yesterday.
Really? Really? Where do you think the Sixers go from here? If you're, Daryl Morey as a GM and you're trying to, you know, keep this team as best together, given, you know, the MVP and the success you guys had this year, but knowing that you got to put forth a team that can get over the edge, get over that hump.
Well, someone joked Mike D'Antoni, and that's always in the possibility with Daryl Morey. But for me, it's like it's an interesting offseason because there are all these high profile coaching jobs open and all these high profile coaches that need jobs. And I really don't know. Like, I feel like a Nick Nurse in Philadelphia could be interesting. Maybe you go for Monty Williams. I think I saw Bud's name attached, but Doc, it was, you know, Doc's fatal flaw is that he can't make adjustments and he blows, you know, leads. Like Bud is in the same, Bud is just a white Doc. Like, I don't know why you go from Bud to Doc.
Like, interesting.
Or do you go with someone like, I don't, Houston snatched up email. I don't know, right? Like, there's just, I feel like a Monty Williams, but again, Monty Williams has some, like, the same track record as Doc. Like, we lose in series that we should win, and we getting blown out in game sevens, right? This is second year in a row.
Phoenix. Well, I would say if you look at Monty's success over the last couple of years, it's been well documented.
But in elimination games, Luka dropped, you know, they lost by 30 Luka, then they just lost by like 30 to Jokic. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I wish the Mavericks would jump on this train to fire Jason Kidd while there are all these high profile coaches out right now. That's all.
But why fire Jason Kidd?
Jason Kidd's not a good coach, man. Jason Kidd, dog, here's Jason's kid. I'm sorry to go on this tangent. Jason Kidd, many times this year when teams are going on runs, Jason Kidd has said multiple times, "I don't believe in calling timeouts when teams go on a run. I believe it's up to our team to stop the run." My brother.
But that's his Phil Jackson.
Crazy thing is, he not Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson got to coach Mike, Kobe, Shaq, Pippen.
Hey, Phil Jackson ain't coach of Luka, though.
I mean, I hope Nick Nurse ends up in Philadelphia.
Why Nick Nurse?
I think Nick Nurse, like, his calling card is defense. And as great as a defender as Joel is, I don't think it's been as consistent. I feel like Nick Nurse might be able to take that to another level.
But what do they do about James Harden, potential Tyrese Maxey? Why?
If James don't want to be there, do I want James Harden there after that? Like, if James Harden walked up to you, if you were Daryl Morey and James walked up to you and was like, "Hey man, I want out," you can be like, "Oh no, James, stay." Or you gonna be like, "Cool."
I'm saying he should stay.
Really, with Maxey there?
Yeah, James Harden is still Yeah, well, you saw it on display. He is still a really good player in this league, and what he brings, he led the league in assists.
Until you need him.
And led the league in scoring. At what point do we got to put onus on the players and just being able to work this out and push through? There's no guarantee that if you switch him out that it's going to work.
I wouldn't want James back. Damn, Kyle slaughtering me in the comments.
Kyle said Jamie is scoring more than James Harden. Lord have mercy. He thought Nurse's calling card was offense, actually, but now I'm not sure since Danny spoke on that with such conviction.
I'm not going to lie. I don't lie about Nick Nurse. I was lying. I just feel like Nick Nurse is the best name out there.
I mean, honestly, I think personally Monty Williams is probably the best option. I mean, best name out there. And I saw, you know, when I saw that the Bucks were potentially going to be pursuing him aggressively, I said, interesting.
You know what's funny? Every offseason, someone has to do the complimentary Mark Jackson coaching interview. Like, I think he interviewed for the Bucks job. Like, come on, man, stop wasting our time.
Everyone, at least one team takes the Mark Jackson interview, and then no one hears about that Mark Jackson interview ever again.
Nope.
Never again.
You want to jump to the West?
Speaking of Mark Jackson, who called one of the games for the semis, the Lakers and Nuggets, my brother, take it away.
Yeah, so in the West, LeBron and the Lakers, they beat the Warriors on last Friday night. Steph was the only Warrior to show up. He had 32. Game 6, Clay overflooded the box score with 8 points and 3 rebounds, and the newly paid Jordan Poole just had 7 points. D, your Lakers have been the best team in basketball since the trade deadline. How impressed are you with their turnaround and knowing the fact that you are 4 wins away from the NBA Finals?
Listen, I want to give respect to the defending champions. Y'all played a really good series. The better team won. Now, I want to give Rob Pelinka his respect because since the trade deadline, this team that's shown up has shown out. And I've been really impressed with what they've been able to do. Anthony Davis, when he's playing the way he should in terms of being a defensive presence on the floor, being able to switch on all positions, being able to protect the rim, being able to block shots, it's elite caliber defense. He's adding 20 to 25, maybe 30 points a night along with that. I mean, he's averaging 15, but we've seen him obviously go for like a 30 and 20 game, which is more than his ceiling is capable of. So I think with that, I know Bron's been a little gimpy. I know some of our, Bron's been a little bit gimpy with something in his foot, but some of our role players may have been playing fantastic. Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, we saw the Lonnie Walker game. I mean,
crazy.
It's good to see so many great players stepping up and so many of them being ready for this moment with this team and in this light. So I'm hyped, man. I'm hyped. I mean, I think if you watched the Warriors and the Lakers play during the regular season the last couple of times after the trade deadline, you could have saw this coming. You know, we were the better team.
I am excited. I'm excited that LeBron is 4 wins from the finals, which would be his 11th trip, right? Or his 12th?
One of the two.
20 years in the NBA and over half the time LeBron's in the finals. I think that just speaks to how great LeBron is if they make it that far. This Lakers team, since the trade deadline, I mean, what is there to say? They've been the best team in basketball. Rob Pelinka figured it out. I'm excited. I wanted this matchup in the first round, and we're fortunate enough to get this matchup with the finals on the line.
Why would you want that type of matchup first round, though?
Well, remember we talked about because at that point, the Nuggets were the one seed, and the Lakers were still in contention for the play-in. And I said I wanted the Lakers to end up in the 8 seed because I think the Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets, and I wanted to send Jokic home. The 8 seats and the 1 seat home, get him out the paint. But that happened in the East instead of the West because Miami sent Milwaukee packing. But true. Basketball gods said, we hear you. We just going to up the ante a little bit more in a trip to the finals is going to be on the line. So I'm impressed. I think this speaks to the greatness of LeBron to pretty much revamp a team mid-season and guiding them not only to the playoffs.
Did you see some of the performances he was getting from his teammates, though? Rui Hachimura was
– But that comes back to LeBron's leadership, right? Like, LeBron sets the tone because Rui won't playing like that in D.C. Austin Reeves wouldn't be playing like this, you know, in Oklahoma City.
Well, D.C. wasn't utilizing Rui's true potential. And, you know, it took us a little bit of time to get Reeves on the floor. But when we did, he showed up and he showed out.
Like, this is just Darvin Ham. This is LeBron. It's been a very impressive run. I know I hate the Lakers, but I'm a LeBron fan. The league is good when LeBron is playing in high leverage, high profile games, high profile series. Like, this has been NBA's dream. You go from the Warriors to the Nuggets with a trip to the finals on the line. You have the potential to have Lakers Celtics, which I think the world is rooting for if you're not in Miami or Denver.
Really?
I mean, you trying to watch Denver Miami for an NBA championship? Because I'm not.
No, listen, if we get Denver Miami, we are going to get some of the most. I think we're going to get either six very, very close games or six straight blowouts.
It's going to be nasty, dog. Like, give me like Tatum, Braun, like that. I think that. Give me
Lakers
that.
And Celtics seems like the general consensus, and you know, it scares me because a lot of people think that if we get a Lakers Celtics final that the league is rigged. Like,
who cares? Know.
Listen, y'all told me the bubble hoops wasn't real, and then all four bubble teams, you know, when they actually had four teams, just made it back to the conference finals.
Talk to them.
Two, 3 years later. Now we have these four bubble teams battling it out, same Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals. I don't want to hear no one saying that this is fake, this is rigged, because one team has the former league MVP who is going on a crazy tear right now. Another has King James and Anthony Davis, two championship winners before, Bron being, what, four times finals MVP. You have Miami, who made the Eastern Conference final a few times, and they also have one of the highest scoring offenses this postseason with Jimmy Butler. Then you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two certified dogs.
Question for you, and we're going to jump into the conference finals in a second. Put a bow on the Western Conference semis. Is the Warriors dynasty over? And what do you do in the offseason if you're the Warriors?
Listen. The dynasty's over.
Okay, we're here. We're here.
I'm Booker T. It's over. Yo, I'm going to just take a pause for a second. I was watching some old WWE clips, and I remember when Booker T was standing in a grocery store, and Stone Cold Steve Austin came in the grocery store. Oh. Do you remember this?
Yeah, like he's standing.
Oh, man. He like closed the door. Stone Cold Steve Austin was drinking the milk. Fam, people, to all my WWE fans, just know Stone Cold Steve Austin beat him up all throughout this grocery store.
Got flour in his dreads.
Flour in his dreads. It was at least like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was a couple segments on Raw that night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he would be beating Booker T's ass. They go away to a match.
Yeah, they had to come back to the match. That's funny as hell. No, the dynasty is over, though, man. I don't think the Warriors are going to be able to keep this team together. I mean, when you look at it with this new CBA, it's going to be hard to keep more than really two big contracts without, you know, really exposing your bench. So, you know, I think Draymond and Clay are in their elderly statesman years. So I think if you wanted to maybe, you know, get some pay cuts taken, that would be lovely. If you wanted to get some newer, fresher legs in there and allow these guys to, you know, maybe transition on to other teams and consider a rebuild around Wiggins and Kuminga. Then do that. But I don't know, man. I just don't see how you keep this core together anymore, or if you do even want to keep this core together anymore. You know, you got Draymond with the Superman right punch that knocked your Jordan Poole contract right out of hand. But we also look at Jordan Poole this offseason and asked, where's the next step? What is this money supposed to really mean? And there might be a chance that they do trade Jordan Poole. So, man, I just don't think that resource wise, they can keep this team together.
Jordan Poole, you are Oklahoma City Thunder.
No,
I think as long as Steph Curry can play at a top five level, you have to do everything in your power to win him a championship. And Steve Kerr, I believe yesterday or earlier today at a press conference, said that without Draymond Green, this team cannot win a championship, right? So the Warriors have zero leverage in regards to Draymond's negotiation. So Draymond has an opt-in. He can opt in next year, or he can renegotiate a new deal. I think Klay has one more year left on his deal. I think if you're the Warriors, I think you had your bets, right? Like, you go into next season with your core three, you trade Jordan Poole to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have like 25,000 first round picks over the next couple years. Like, hey, we'll give you Jordan Poole, give us a couple of those picks. And then you can either during the season, if you're making a run and you think you're close to a championship, you can take those first round picks. You can trade for that final piece to a championship. Or if next year you're garbage, you got assets to start rebuilding. So if I'm the Warriors, like, we're trading Jordan Poole, preferably to Oklahoma City or a team that has multiple first-round picks, and then you kind of hedge your bets and go in next year with that core again, because Klay hit the most threes in the league out of anyone this year. Like, I just think game six Klay is now a myth. I would run it back. Like, I would trade Poole. I think this is the second playoffs in a row that Poole has shrunk when it's mattered the most. Like, if you can get a couple of first-rounders for Poole, I'd hedge my bets, trade Poole, get those first-round picks, flip them during the season if you can. Or if not, you got something to rebuild with.
So the thing is like, what makes you think the Oklahoma City Thunder want to take on Jordan Poole's contract?
I mean, they ain't paying nobody else.
They have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the leader for their team. They have Josh Giddey at the two or the one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the two.
I mean, Jordan come off the bench. Like, the Thunder have so much salary cap space. Like, because everyone's on a rookie deal. Giddey's on a rookie deal. Chet's on a rookie deal. SGA is the only person on that team getting paid. Like, you got the room, the cap space to add Jordan Poole, if that's something you're interested in, to have some extra, because Oklahoma City, let's be honest, like, they can make the playoffs next year. Especially,
really?
They almost made the playoffs this year, and Chet was hurt.
Yeah, and they might get Victor Wembanyama this year too.
Yeah, and SGA was all NBA, like first team all NBA. Yo, isn't the lottery happening right now? I don't have my TV on.
Oh, man. Research.
Kyle, is the draft lottery going on right now?
Kyle, to answer your question, Kyle, I would say that the latter happened, that injuries reduced his previous ceiling.
Yes. Like, he can no longer guard the team's best player in the expectations for him to drop 25. Like, if he's guarding the best player, he's going to give you 10, 12 points.
In a quarter.
All right, so the stage is set. Lakers, Denver, Western Conference Finals, Heat and Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals will start in the West. Sir. D, what's the biggest storyline for you in the Western Conference Finals? You already said Lakers in six, but for you, what's the biggest storyline?
It's the showdown of the bigs. Pause. AD versus Jokic. Who wants it more? I'm not telling you that you need to go out here and win every game. I'm telling you, you need to go out here and win four games. I'm telling you, you can't play with this. This is the Western Conference Finals. We here. We right around the corner from another championship. But to get there, there's four things standing in our way, and they all involve the Phoenix Suns.
Go on.
Not the Phoenix Suns, the Denver Nuggets.
I was about to say, I was waiting. I was like, man, how are we going to draft?
Denver Nuggets.
Listen, man, I've been driving the Jokic slander train all year.
Anthony Davis. This is you. No more games. We is here.
30 and 20 every night. I need you to put
I need a 50-50.
50, okay.
I need a 50-50.
We not see it. We're going to see that when we see Wilt's 100 game film. That's when we'll see a 50-50 game.
All right. Well, I need a 50-20.
Like, I need you to put this man in the blender. Like, I need there to be no doubt.
Zero.
Get that man out the paint, Anthony Davis. We're not going back.
I see the Lakers winning game one. I see the Nuggets winning game two. I see the Lakers winning game three. The Lakers winning game four. No. I see the Lakers winning game three, Nuggets winning game four, Lakers winning game five, Lakers winning game six.
Like, the Nuggets are one of the only few teams that have never been to the finals. I need that to extend. Like, I don't want to hear any excuse for Joker because his whole team is healthy. I need Anthony Davis to slaughter them.
What role players do you think step up the most in this particular series?
It's going to have to be Rui, right? Because Nuggets, like, you got Anthony Joker, Jamal Murray. I don't know who's going to guard Jamal Murray. What's that guy's name?
Vando.
Yeah, Vando will guard him.
Or we might put because he might get exposed because he doesn't really have an offensive game. So you got to keep LeBron AD on. Then you want Reeves on. So they could go Schroeder again.
Like, Michael Porter Jr. is the X factor.
They'll put LeBron on MPJ.
Well, we good then. I'm with you. Lakers in six. I hate the Lakers, but I love LeBron. I can't see Joker in the final. I can't, man. I've been driving this train too long to turn off now.
People remember that. He says his agenda has to live.
My Joel agenda died on Sunday. I text you in tears. I need my Jokic agenda to live.
About the Celtics and the Heat?
I really want to pick the Heat. I do, but man, playoff, like, it's hard to pick against the Heat right now. But I'm going to go with the Celtics. Like, I think the 1-2 punch, like, at some point, losing Oladipo and Tyler Hero have to matter. And I think it matters here.
I think the Heat can win this series in six games, maybe even seven. I think when you look at what they like to do best are the things that give Boston their most fits.
Like, I'm not saying, like, I can see the Heat winning too. Like, if the Heat won, I wouldn't be shocked. But for me, it's like, all right, who are the Heat's best players? Who are the Celtics' best?
Jimmy Butler. It's going to start with Jimmy Butler and Bam.
Jimmy, Bam. And all of a sudden, you got Tatum, Brown, Brogdon, Smart. Like, who do they, you know, like the
Heat? Horford.
You got Robert Williams. Like, I know the Heat story is great. All these undrafted guys, right. And it's great. And Spoelstra's that dude, but dog,
yeah, it's all about that that grit and that grind. They got to grit and they got to get that grind in.
But at some point, right? At some point, losing option two and three and Hero and Oladipo got to matter.
I think losing Tyler Hero is a big deal. Kyle says Butler versus Tatum is probably the best individual matchup in the conference finals. I have to disagree because I think it's Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic. I think that's going to be a meeting of two behemoths, two beasts at their crafts. And we need to see who the better man is on with a chance to play for an NBA championship.
It's Godzilla versus Kong.
First off, ayo. Second off, who's the Kong here?
Jokic. I'm not comparing a black man to a monkey. Come on, dog.
Hey, we got him. We got him. We got him. Now we got him.
You ready to do some quick hitters?
Let's hit it.
All right. Let's see where are we at with the quick hitters. Let's start with the big one. Ja got caught on Instagram Live with another gun. The league is going to drop the hammer. See what I did there on this man. D, it's not big deal or no deal. It's how big of a deal is this suspension going to be for Ja coming up?
First off, what I would like to start by saying is there is a parade inside my city. Yeah. Shout out to Skip Bayless. All right. A more serious note. Ja. This is the first. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
Dog, stop listening to NBA Youngboy.
Shame on you. At what point do we just put the cameras away? You can do this all you want, I guess. But at what point does a brother just put the cameras away?
That's it, man. Because, again, it's the repeated behavior. It's this. It's Denver. It's beating up a 17-year-old allegedly at your house with a gun on your hip. It's the thing that happened with the Pacers where they see lasers pointing out of trucks that you are associated with and in. Dog.
What the hell did he tell Jalen Rose? Let's talk about it.
I'll say this. I hope Ja really takes his time to get the help he needs, because I think last time he just got a sheet of paper with some breathing exercises on it, and he was like, okay, I can handle whatever it is that he's going through. Like, I think he's going to get 20 to 30 games. So if you start and he's suspended from the Grizzlies activities, whatever the hell they're doing in May, but if that's 20 games and we're talking now, May the 16th, what's 20, 30 games into the season? Christmas? Like, you have the rest of the year to really get the help that you need and surround yourself with better people. I did see a point on the internet. It's like, what if Ja's the bad influence and the people around him aren't? Like, he's the bad influence.
No. Let me tell you like this. Did you see the video? Did you watch the entirety of the video? It was only half an entire second in the entire video.
But that's because his boy was like, oh no, and like dropped the phone.
Yeah, kids out there, if you're going to do hood rat shit with your friends, stop recording it, you damn dummies.
Stop recording.
What are we doing here, man?
Like, not everything needs to go on IG Live.
Like, so if you're the league, do you give him the Gilbert Arenas treatment, or is it not as severe as the Gilbert Arenas situation?
If he gets the Gilbert Arenas treatment, it's going to be because of the Pacer thing. Like, people in his entourage pointing guns at other NBA players, right? Gilbert got in trouble for bringing a gun into an NBA arena, right?
Still insane.
It's still insane, right? Like, don't get me. I don't think he's going to get that far. Like, people, like, suspend him for the year. Whoa. He's not doing anything illegal. He's just being an idiot. Like, I think 20, 30 games, a hefty fine, and like, you've already lost $39 million because of your buffoonery. Like, I don't know what else you need, dog. Like, if I lost $39 million, and for those who don't know, Ja didn't make an all-NBA team, so that cost him $39 million out of in potential earnings from his max contract that he signed. So you're out $39 million because you had to miss time because you were doing foolishness. You got suspended. You're about to lose your Powerade endorsement. I'm sure behind the scenes, Nike, they're having conversations about what do we do with this guy? Like, man, just chill out. That's all.
And it's not like he's not a very intelligent young man.
That's the thing.
Like, I know, you know, a lot of people say we want to make sure we give make sure you give grace, because he's, you know, still a young kid, but he's also the breadwinner. He's also a brand in itself. He's representing more than just, you know, Ja Morant. Ja Morant is also a business name. It's also, you know, an entity in itself. It feeds a lot of people. So, Ja, I think the people out here just want to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, you keep this empire that you're growing to build, and it didn't go to waste because you still have a long life to live.
Yeah, man. Like we don't want to see Ja lose, and that's the frustrating part, right? I think Shannon said this the other day. He's trying to act like he's from the streets, but if you walked up to someone who really lives that life and says, "Hey, man, you can have Ja Morant's life. You just got to put the guns away." Like, oh, sure, that's easy. I just really hope he takes this time to get the help that he really needs. Like, if this is a stress thing, hey, man, go get some treatment. Because he has the skills to lead a team to a championship. That's the thing. Like, I know the Grizzlies' record is better or good without him, but let's be clear. If Ja Morant does not play for the Grizzlies, they do not have any chance of winning a championship.
Not at all.
At all. Like, you could be a superstar. Just got to stop listening to NBA YoungBoy.
And it's not a parade inside my city yet. And if you're going to listen to the YoungBoy, stop listening to the shoot 'em up, bang, bang, YoungBoy. Listen to that pain, YoungBoy. So I'm just a lonely child who needs someone to help me out. I take this pain away.
I'm not familiar with NBA YoungBoy's music, but every time I've listened to it, I'm just like, it's not for me, which is not a bad thing.
His lyrics can definitely be a little bit vulgar, a little bit in your face.
Yep.
I'm hearing on the timeline that Dallas gets to keep their pick.
Thank God. Can someone give me the details on the draft lottery? So Dallas owed their pick to New York for the Porzingis trade, but if it's a top 10 pick, Dallas gets to keep it. So it's top 10 protected. Can someone tell me where Dallas is picking? Are they 10th? Like, where are they picking?
Pacers get 7th.
Okay. Like, I guess Mavericks got 10.
Doesn't look like the Bulls are picking too well.
Or have the Mavericks not been revealed yet?
Pistons got 5. Here we go. 14, Pelicans. 13, Raptors. 12, Thunder. 11, Magic. 10, Mavericks. 9, Jazz. 8, Wizards. 7, Pacers. 6, Magic. 5, Pistons.
Okay. So the Mavericks got the 10th pick. Perfect. Now we can do something this offseason, potentially. This is exciting.
Will the Blazers get the number one overall pick?
Will Dame's loyalty be paid off with Wimby? You know what?
Besides the Blazers, we also have Charlotte.
LaMelo and Wimby would be hilarious.
I think it would be pretty fire.
That would be hilarious. Is this on ESPN? I'm trying to pull it up.
Rockets, Spurs, Pistons, Hornets, Blazers.
This is exciting. I'm so excited as a Mavs fan. Granted, 10 usually doesn't mean anything.
The next four picks will be revealed on ESPN right now. So let's keep it rolling. As they come in, we'll be sure to inform the people. We're getting this live right here on Speak On It. Speaking of some things, speaking of the Eastern Conference Finals, you see that bullshit George Niang did grabbing another man's leg. He lucky he ain't get, you know what I mean?
So it's Bush League, right? But that shit was hilarious. Like, Al Davis was in heaven like, yep, you're a Raider. Like, that is what we do. If you ain't cheating, for me it was, like, he got real close to Jalen's, like, you know, like between his legs, like
I originally thought that's what he was grabbing at first.
Yeah, like he got upper thigh and then went to the knee. Like, I feel like Jalen was more offended about him getting to the upper thigh more so than the knee.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, yo, son, you good,
sir?" Dog, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. I'm sorry.
Would he have been right if he would have, you know what I'm saying, got to getting a little ratchet around that piece?
I wouldn't have blamed him, especially since Jason Tatum was on fire. It's like, okay, like Tatum can take us home. I might steal on this guy, but then he wouldn't be playing tomorrow. So I'm glad he did not go off, even though he had every right to. Oh, here we go. We back. It's the draft lottery. Where do you think Wimby's going before it's revealed?
I think he's either going to be a Blazer or a Hornet.
I want him to be a Hornet. Like, I can't stop thinking about LaMelo and Wimby. That would be fun. Not that Dame and Wimby wouldn't be fun, but Dame's old. Like, LaMelo and Wimby for, like, the next 5 years seems hilarious to me. Like, can you imagine LaMelo driving Wimby around Charlotte, introducing him to the hoes?
Imagine Wimby and Dame Lillard.
I mean, you'd be able to go see them.
Could be.
Potentially. Oh, I forgot the Lakers don't have home court advantage. I thought tonight was in L.A. No, it is in Denver.
It's in Denver.
Dog, LeBron ties the perfect do-rag.
I don't really know how to respond to that. Kyle said, well, if the Detroit team I cheer for gets screwed in the lottery, being the Detroit Red Wings, it makes sense that one of the ones I don't, being the Pistons, does as well.
Let me tell you something. I do not want that boy to go to Detroit. Lord, please, if you can hear me, don't put that boy in Detroit. Oh, put him in Houston with Ime and James Harden.
Uh-oh.
Yes, uh-oh. Sir. Put him in Houston. I reneged my pick. I want him
Pelicans,
in Houston.
Pelicans are picking 14th. I know they sick.
Come on.
Pistons fall down to the fifth pick. They had a 14% chance at the number one overall pick. That means the Portland Trailblazers are picking the top four.
Damn it. Yo, if he goes to San Antonio, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Uh-oh. Portland got the third pick.
That means he's going to Houston or San Antonio.
Oh, he's going to Charlotte or... Oh, he's going to San Antonio. Hey, he is a Hall of Famer. The San Antonio Spurs have the number one overall pick. They have won the Wimby sweepstakes. Greg Popovich, wow. You are San back.
San Antonio, Charlotte, Portland...
Oh, damn it. That means we got to play. The Mavericks got to play Wimby 4 or 5 times a year. Damn. It was fun. It was fun.
The Spurs. Means Greg Popovich.
Hall of Famer.
He gonna coach there for another
Pop set for another 5 years. He good. He went through 2 years of hell, 3 years of hell, and he back. And he is back. Before we talk football, you got something?
Do you think he'll be like Tim Duncan 2.0?
Listen, man, if anyone can mold Wimby, it's Pop. Like some coaches, I'd be concerned.
Someone said David Stern wouldn't have let this happen.
Oh, yeah. If David Stern was still on this earth. I don't know.
Spurs, Hornets, Trailblazers, Rockets, Pistons, Magic, Pacers, Wizards, Jazz, Mavericks, Magic, Thunder, Raptors, Pelicans.
It's crazy because Brandon Miller is in this draft, right? Like, we forget Brandon Miller is in this draft, too.
Going to the... Potentially the Trailblazers if Scoot Henderson goes second.
Nah, I think Brandon will go second to Charlotte. Him and LaMelo, that's a fierce backcourt.
The Spurs were plus 550 to win the NBA draft.
That's why I don't gamble. One quick note before we jump into football and some other stuff. The WNBA. Kyle, were you there? I don't know how close you are to Toronto, but the WNBA hosted the first ever Canada game Saturday. It was a scrimmage, I believe, between the Lynx, and I am forgetting the other team. I have to look this
up. Might have been Minnesota, or?
Yeah, Minnesota's the Lynx.
Oh.
So the Lynx.
Was it LA? Or Phoenix?
No, it wasn't LA. It wasn't LA. Phoenix either. It wasn't any of those teams. Goodness. Was it New York? No, Chicago, excuse me. So Chicago, Minnesota, but sold out. Viewership was through the roof. It was a great game. I watched it. It was a lot of fun. WNBA season starts on Friday. You can get WNBA League Pass for $25 for the year. Anyone that's interested.
Why is the WNBA cutting so many of their recent draft picks?
Because they need to expand. like the roster. They need to expand the rosters, and the WNBA needs an expansion team because right now it's too much talent and not enough room. So you see all these, like Destiny Henderson was a rookie in Indiana last year. She got cut today. Bree from West Virginia, who is in New York, she got cut today. She's real talented. Like, you can take the people that you've cut and you can go start a team and it would be competitive because that's how many, like, the league needs to expand the roster and the league needs to add an expansion team. And that'll solve all these problems.
What's stopping an expansion team? More investors into...
I don't think the commissioner is down for it. Like, whenever she, from what I understand, whenever she's asked about it, it's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. We're exploring it. And like, that's it. Like, it's just lip service. But like, you could put a WNBA team, like Kyle said, in Toronto. Like, that place was going crazy. Like, that was a really special environment Saturday. And I was watching from home.
Like, I think you could put a WNBA team in Portland. It might be.
You can put them in Portland. You can put them in Seattle. You can put one in Philadelphia. You can probably put one in Miami. You can put one in Toronto. Like, there are tons of places. Because remember, the WNBA, they don't have East-West. It's just straight seeding by record. So mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a conference thing. It's just, again, seeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can put them pretty much anywhere. Or even, you know, maybe one in Mexico City. Maybe
that would be fun. Yeah. But still, like, they can
increase a little bit, actually.
They have enough talent to expand, and they that team of, like, competitive
teams like places in like Las Vegas. Oh, they got more.
They got
maybe adding a second one to Las Vegas.
Oh, like the Clippers and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey man, have you seen the Aces new facility?
It's nice,
dog. They're not playing down in Vegas, even though
that's what happens when you win championships.
Nah, they just got they got in trouble. They got their first round pick stripped today, and Becky Hammon has been suspended for the first two games because they were moving illegally when negotiating a contract with De'Erica Hamby last year. So they just got punished for that.
How were they moving illegally, though?
I think they were promising her things that they weren't allowed to promise her, and then they didn't give her those things, and she blew the whistle. And they traded her while she was pregnant. Like, she is saying she got traded to LA because she was pregnant and that she would be out this year. And she's not. She's back. But anywho, before we talk football, does Roman Reigns and Solo win the tag team championships at Night of Champions?
My brother, I'm glad you asked me this. It is time for the tag team championships to come home to the bloodline.
I am with you. I know Triple H won't do it. I know Triple H won't do it because they just won the titles at WrestleMania. But boy, you talk about a story.
Let me tell you what I see, and I see the vision. So let me ISO real quick. I think I might see it. You let Solo and Roman win the titles. You use that as an angle to spin animosity within the bloodline because he's going to make it seem as if he could do it and they could not. And they're going to say, all right, then at SummerSlam, if y'all are so good, we'll take it from you then. If y'all are so good, we'll do it ourselves. And it'll be Jimmy and Jay versus Solo and Roman, the slow implosion of the bloodline. Meanwhile, while that's happening... Seth Rollins is going to go on to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, or AJ Styles is going to go on to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Actually, I'm going to take AJ Styles. Seth Rollins, after losing to AJ Styles, is then going to feud, in my opinion, with Cody Rhodes, because the winner of that is going to then challenge Roman Reigns mm-hmm. at Survivor Series for the Universal Championship, and I think they're going to win. And it's going to be the new Shawn Michaels versus Bret the Hitman Hart, because someone's going to get screwed out of a championship. Boom, bank it.
That is elite storytelling, and I am here for it. I am here for it.
Now, do that. Will that happen? Probably not. But who knows? I do see Roman and Solo Sokoa. Solo Sokoa. I do see them walking out of Night of Champions with with championships. I think I don't think people like I'm not gonna say that. I think that's best for business though.
I am with you. I am up to the point now where it's give Roman everything. Give him the new heavyweight championship. Give him the undisputed tag team championships. He already is the undisputed champion. Give him everything but the women's title. Like if we're gonna do it, let's do it.
So you think they're gonna keep the world heavyweight championship and the WWE championship completely separated?
Yes, but Roman has hinted a couple of times. Oh wow, if anyone on the audio adventure, there's a thunderstorm happening right now. So if you hear loud banging, it's thunder. But Roman has hinted, and Seth Rollins, because Seth's gonna win. Like Seth has hinted too, like, hey, Roman, you can't run for me. Like I think the other week on Raw, maybe it was Monday night on Raw, like Roman was leaving and saw the title and stared at it, like stopped and looked at it, like laying the groundwork, like I'm coming for that title too. Like triple, like I wouldn't be shocked if WrestleMania next year isn't Seth Roman for the title. I don't know why you would do that. It doesn't make sense story-wise, but they're going to have to cross paths.
I could see it. I would love to see it.
And I'm here for it.
I'm definitely here for it. Talk to me.
So let's jump into football. We're going to talk about our dynasty draft. But first, the Commanders have sold. I think this is a massive deal. What do you think about it?
Listen, to all my Commanders friends, I think this is big with the power of Magic Johnson. New ownership. I think you guys are eventually going to get a new stadium. I think it's going to be maybe powered closely with maybe Amazon or something along that. Wouldn't surprise me, but I can definitely see one of the big tech companies maybe getting into this. And man, DC, the price of the brick in DC is going up because it's about to get more expensive in that city for sure.
Yeah, I think, again, if you're a Commanders fan, this is a big deal. Since Dan Snyder has taken over, I think you've won like two or three playoff games. Like, it's been a train wreck. I know the division rivals, but the NFL is better when all the NFC East teams are good. So hopefully this turns around the Dan Snyder era and Washington can be competitive again. The schedule released last week. Is there anything that caught your eye? Anything that you're
who the fuck in? Wants to see the Detroit Lions versus the Chiefs on
nobody
the season opener? I think that's going to be an ass kicking.
The Lions are the sacrificial lamb.
You're right. Also, Aaron Rodgers opening the season on 9/11 in New York. You have to get it to get it, but if you get it, that's pretty damn funny.
Here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the podium and say 9/11 didn't happen, and that's going to be hilarious. He's going to say 9/11 was an inside job.
He said you got to do your research on that, man. That's what he told Brett Hundley. Yeah, do your research.
That's what's going to be hilarious about that whole ordeal. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about the dynasty draft? I know Gerson's here. I know Kyle's here.
I got my roster up right now. Looking at the draft. My team. My new draft picks, some of my free agents that I was able to sign immediately after. Danny, you had a few first round picks, so let's talk to me about your team.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, I had four first round picks.
Three or four.
I had three first round picks and I had 203. I was in the process of talking to someone, Greg, right? So Greg and I were talking behind the scenes about 108. We have been talking about 108 for weeks. So we had an agreement that if the person that I, because he had 6 and 7, so he wanted 6, 7, and 8. And I said, if you get to 6 and, you know, you don't take the players that I want, I'm sorry, I had 4, 6, 10. Okay, so we've been talking about 6. Because he had 7 and 8. And I said, if the person that I want is gone, I will trade you 6. And like we had the deal worked out. And then Dalton Kincaid fell to me at 6. And I know a lot of people, I didn't draft Kincaid. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
I did. I don't think I drafted him six. I'm looking at my roster now and who I drafted. I think I drafted Kincaid. No, I did draft him six. Yeah, I did. Yeah, because I drafted Quentin Johnson. Yeah, thank you, Kyle. I had eight. Yes, not six. So I had 4, 8, and 10. And Greg and I had a deal worked out for 8. And Dalton Kincaid fell on me to 8. And I had my eyes on Dalton the entire time. And if he fell to me, I was going to take him. And he fell, and I took him. So with 104, I took – where's my roster's all scrambled right now. What's the kid from TCU? Quentin Johnson. I took Quentin Johnson at 4. I took Kincaid at 8. I took Achane, I forgot how to say his last name, Achane from Miami. I took him 10. And then at 203, Zach Charbonnet fell to 203. No, Zach was at 10, and then the other guy fell to me at 3, and I had my eye on both of those. Every mock draft I had one of the two. I never got both of them. So I was really excited about my draft. And then my last pick was Darnell Washington because why not? That was the thinking. I have way too many pass catchers. I don't. Can't have too many pass catchers. I'm excited about my draft. I think my organization can still contend for a championship and defend my title with pride.
Sounds like you have a – I'm going to be honest with you. Both the Dalton Kincaid and the Darnell Washington picks really didn't sit too well with me at 208. I had 208 and 209. Didn't sit too well with me, but happy that you got your guys. And believe it or not, the tight ends I did end up drafting, I felt pretty good about. The tight end I ended up drafting, I felt pretty good about. And I was able to actually get another guy off my draft board in Sam Laporta off the waivers.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm quite surprised that he went undrafted. But I feel, I'm gonna be honest with you, I feel pretty good about my draft. I was able to pick up my first pick was Luke Musgrave.
Yep.
It was Tank Bisbee. My first pick was Tank Bisbee, running back from Auburn. Picked him at 208. Felt like he'd be a good complement to Travis Etienne, maybe not this year, but next year. And then with 308 is where I took Luke Musgrave, the tight end from Oregon State. Feels like he has a chance to maybe become, the starting tight end in the future. Maybe when he gets a little bit of rhythm with Jordan Love. So I'm putting a little bit of investment in that. And then I was also able to get Tajay Spears, running back. He's going to be the backup to Derrick Henry, you know, knowing that I do have King Henry on my roster, being able to get someone who maybe could supersede him with touches. He impressed and he had a pretty good showing at the Senior Bowl. Had a pretty good showing at the Senior Bowl. Feels like, if everything works out, he could be a pretty good tool for the Titans. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was able to also pick up Sam Laporta off the free agency wire. I think that's pretty big. I'm not going to be honest with you. I think he has a chance to really replace Hockenson, TJ Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. But yeah, my team's getting a little bit younger, and I'm putting a little bit of investment a little bit more in finding another complimentary tight end to Mark Andrews. And we're leaning through the trenches, running backs and tight ends. And then I'm just hoping that, Tyreek Hill and George Pickens and, maybe Alan Lazard or Michael Gallup or, I also got Sky Moore, shout out to Kyle, and Joshua Palmer. Someone dropped Joshua Palmer. I know he's a wide receiver, young wide receiver for the Chargers. But I think with Keenan Allen maybe getting up there in age, I think there'll be room for Quentin Johnson and Joshua Palmer, especially, since Joshua Palmer was a pretty good pretty target friendly for Justin Herbert last season.
In the chat, Kyle, I love your draft too. You got JSN, Anthony Richardson, and Roshan Johnson. Yeah. Garrison also had a great draft. He sniped Mingo, I believe, right in front of me because I saw Mingo fall. I was like, oh, man, he's going to drop.
I saw him fall too, and I was like, man, is he going to fall my way?
Yeah, I was like 203. No, I passed on Mingo, and as soon as I – so here's what happened with Mingo. He did not pick Mingo in front of me. I did not realize I was on the clock. And then it was like 2 seconds left, and it just picked the guy at the top of my queue, which was Charbonnet. So my idiocy cost me because I wanted Mingo. But no, everyone had a good draft. D, who is the favorite after the draft, in your opinion, to win the league?
Man, as a commissioner, you know, as I was looking around, I think there are a number of really strong teams. You know, I think, Danny, your team maybe has a chance to start off pretty strong. I think Greg's team has a chance to start off pretty strong. Curious to see what Achilles' team does after making it to the championship game last year. Gerson's team looks like it should be another one. And, you know, Rojo and my team, I think Rojo and my team is going to be fighting for which team can maybe contend, but also set themselves up for the future. I don't think Rojo and my team were built for this year, but who knows? I know Rojo's got some guys like Breece Hall coming back. We'll see if J.K. Dobbins can come back. He's got some guys on there, so I think he has a high ceiling. So we'll see. I think I don't know. Still trying to figure that one out.
I think for my team, it comes down to Javonte Williams and Dalton Kincaid. If Javonte can come back from his knee injury, and if Dalton is who I think he is, and I have Josh Allen, so having that stack, I think that might be beneficial. Right now, I think Gerson has the best team. He's pretty loaded, his roster, and he has great depth if anything were to happen. I'm excited to see how the league turns out. I know there are going to be some trades going on through the summer.
You think so?
Yeah, especially if training camp comes, people get injured. People are going to be looking for depth pieces or potential starters. I'm ready to defend my crown, though. I think I have a good chance. Josh Allen is who I think he is. I have a good chance at repeating. I'm excited. Hopefully, Quentin Johnson is who I think he is. I think, you know, but we'll see.
You know what? I think I want to beef up my wide receiver depth, but I don't know.
Come talk to me.
What are we talking about here, Danny?
Every time I make you offer, you tell me no, because I'm excited about Mechie. Mechie's coming back. He got cancer last year. He's clear. He's a speedster. I think he and CJ Stroud can make some beautiful music together. But I mean, I have some receivers if you want to holler at me. If you want some death, Juju, Curtis Samuel, I have some stuff. Are you interested?
Nah, that's not what I'm looking for. Is Kyle in the chat?
I mean, you said you wanted some depth. Juju could be some depth.
Nah, not that type of depth.
You not serious then?
Not that type of death.
You not serious.
Man. I kind of wanted, let me be honest with you. I want one of the Ravens pass catchers, young pass catchers, but I might wait on that one.
I got Isaiah Likely. You can have Mark Andrews backup.
Nah. Kyle, how do you feel about Drake London?
Kyle, if you give him Drake London after denying me Drake London all these months,
maybe Bateman. I don't know.
You're going all in on the Ravens this year. You got Mark Andrews. You have Lamar too, right?
I do have Lamar. I don't know. I want another veteran receiver to pair with Tyreek, but not too veteran.
I mean, I'll give you Deontay Johnson back.
That doesn't help me out.
Kyle said, I do like London. Maybe I put, I'm sorry, it's loading up. Maybe I put the co-host in the bidding war, open to moving him too, but at the right price. Like, that's too rich for my blood.
Kyle, how does a 2024 second and a 2025 second sound?
Nah, he going want more than that. I made a better offer for Drake London than that.
Okay, what about a 2026 first, a 2025 second, and a 2024 second? No, no, no. A 2025 first, a 2024 second, and a 2026 third.
I can't touch that.
Kyle, you let me know.
Kyle said he'll think about it.
Let me know. Lakers about to play soon, my brother.
All right. Let's wrap this bad boy up. You got anything for Speak to the Cinema this week?
Yo, Kyle said that's not close to London's price.
Woo! Woo!
Maybe that's too rich for both of our bloods. Oh, bless you, my good sir.
Thank you. I muted just in time.
Maybe that's too rich for both of my bloods.
Anything for Speak to the Cinema this week? I got nothing.
Man, I haven't really been watching. Well, you know what? I'll say this. I started watching Bar Rescue.
Oh.
I can get down with Bar Rescue.
A bot.
I like Bar Rescue.
You know what? I take that back. Today, I watched Bullet Train on Netflix. It was actually a really good movie. I enjoyed it. So if you like
Bullet Train?
Bullet Train.
With Brad Pitt?
With Brad Pitt. I actually enjoyed it.
What was it about?
It's a bunch of different, I don't want to spoil it, but it's a bunch of different like hitmen on a train. They're all kind of going after the same thing, but unbeknownst to like one hitman's going after this person, but this hitman's going after this object. Another hitman is going after but it all ties together. Then it's 2 hours, but I enjoyed it.
2 hours?
It was a good watch. It's a good watch.
How did you feel about Bam getting CJ Stroud?
I understand where his head was. I get what he was trying to do.
Really?
Aaron Rodgers. How many years of Aaron Rodgers you got left? You don't know what the nasty man going to be like this year. I feel like he's going to hold either the nasty man or CJ Stroud hostage for trade bait because his picks are depleted. He doesn't have he depleted his this year. So, like, he doesn't have a first-round pick next year. Like, don't be shocked if he's like, hey, I'll give up one of these quarterbacks for a first-round pick, especially if someone's QB1 goes down.
Do you think Bam is, you know, competitive in a space where he could be a competitive team next year?
If he's asking a lot. I don't think he has a lot of, because right now his tight end is David Njoku. He can be. Things will have to feel like he has a decent roster. I think he can be competitive.
Gator J is 2 players over the limit, believe it or not.
Dog, Gerson's like 40 players over the limit.
Really?
Yeah, go look at his roster. Like, he's my week 1 matchup. He's like way. I don't even have that many people on my roster. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. He's 5 people over the roster. I was going to ask you if you extended the rosters and didn't say anything because I was going to add people, but I just tried to add someone.
I didn't extend the rosters. I did not extend the rosters.
He's broke the rules.
Well, no, because he's going to have to drop players anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
You got anything else?
Man, people, let me tell you something. Sometimes when you believe in something, you just have to believe no matter how crazy it may seem. You just have to believe. And if someone doesn't believe, then you make them believe. And if they can't see your vision, you don't need them in your life. Period, point blank. Hey, we all here and it's all go to everything, my brother.
Hey, man. I never thought I'd say
go that. Lakers in 6.
Yeah, Lakers, do us a favor, please. Please,
Lakers in six. I might really be trying to make a trade for a wide receiver.
Come talk to me, but you're not serious. You're not serious. You were serious in the beginning of the year. You haven't been one to do business with me for a while.
Kyle just sent me a trade for Rashad Bateman for 2 second round picks in the next 2 years.
There you go. That's between y'all. Kyle said, as long as the manager is over the roster, they can't make any moves. All right.
Yeah.
Before we leave, quick reminder, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, speakonan_pod. And don't forget to send us your questions at speakonanpod14@gmail.com. Again, we just reached episode 100. This is 101. If you have any ideas, anything you want to talk to us about, send us an email. We love to get more people on to get their points of view, get some things off their chest. Hit us up. D, do you have anything before we call it a night and watch the Lakers?
Dig out the Nuggets. I think a sleeper free agency signing for me outside of Sam Laporta is Rashid Shaheed. I picked him up. I re-picked him up. He was a rookie last year. He played at FCS Weber State. I'm a real fast guy. He plays for the Saints now. I think him and Derek Carr might be something. Curious to see if Michael Gallup, I'm going to be honest with you, if Michael Gallup, gets back to his old ways, then I could see my trade for him with Gator J being a really impactful one. And I'm really curious to see what the Chargers end up doing with Austin Ekeler.
That's going to be really interesting.
Because I have Josh Kelly, and he could be in line to be a big backup for him. Samaje Perine too. I don't know what's going on. I know you were mentioning Javonte Williams, but if Samaje Perine starts the season hot, who knows? I also think I have the best IDP combo in the league. I'm gonna just throw that out there.
But in who?
I got Roquan Smith and Olajuwon.
Okay.
So, we win in the trenches over here.
All right, Howie.
But you win in the trenches.
Oh. D, where can the people find you?
Make sure you find the kid at Los D-Mix. LOSDEEMIX, people. We here. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you here with Danny and myself. We here to speak on it, and we're going to keep speaking on it. We're going to be back next week to keep on speaking on it. So if you want us to keep speaking on things, or you got things that you want us to speak on, make sure you send us an email, speakonitpod14@gmail.com. Danny, it is a blessing to be here with you every week.
Find me on
episode 101 in the books, people. You dig?
We out here. Danny Ocean 41 on the Bird app, and we'll catch you guys next week.